In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia! Christ is risen. You want to do it again? You want to do it again, don't you? Alleluia! The Lord is risen! All right. I learned in seminary that a preacher's job is to preach the good news. Well, that's it. Christ is risen. I actually thought about sitting down at this point tonight. I thought about how Billy Graham used to say, the greatest news the mortal ear has ever heard is the news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He didn't make that up, you know. As early as 400, John Chrysostom preached an Easter sermon which emphasized this distillation of the good news. Christ is risen, and you, O death, are annihilated. Christ is risen, and you, O evil ones, are cast down. Christ is risen, and angels rejoice. Christ is risen, and life is liberated. Christ is risen. And the tomb is emptied of its dead. From ancient of days, preachers have recognized that the good news is simply and succinctly stated in tonight's acclamation, Christ is risen. I'll say a little more. But rather than trying to add my words to this, the perfect sermon, I want to draw our attention to the very first Easter sermon, the one from which that perfect sermon is taken. It's a sermon in three parts with four preachers, none of whom, in the words of Bishop Burton, are human. Let's listen to their sermon, as recorded in our passage from Luke. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking spices they'd prepared. They walked slowly, I imagine, deliberately, sadly. They were heartbroken, sure they'd never see Jesus again alive. Adding insult to injury, after he had been killed and placed behind a stone in a temporary tomb, the chief priests and Pharisees had called Jesus an impostor and convinced Pilate to seal the stone in place with wax. Thus secured, the stone spoke certitude, a great period that stopped the sentence of Jesus' life. Reaching the tomb that morning, the women found the stone rolled away, their eyes shifting from tomb to stone. Trace not a period, but a comma. And I imagine a question rising, albeit unconsciously, in their minds. Didn't he say something about stones just last week as he rode into the city? Yes. He was responding to the Pharisees who'd ordered him to silence the crowds. If these were silent, he said, stones would shout out. And now, into the silence of this morning, this stone proclaimed the first part of the Easter sermon. I am not a period at the end of the sentence of Jesus' life. Look, I traced a comma in the dirt for you. Step inside. The Lord is risen. But the stone speaks in words the women with their human ears can't hear. Somehow they received part of the message, the part beckoning them to step inside. But when they went in, they didn't find the body. That's when two men in dazzling clothes took the pulpit, asking, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" So much is conveyed in that question. You're on a fruitless search, ladies. You're here to embalm the past. But the past doesn't need embalming. This sermon the women can hear. I can hear it too. And it's good news that I can. Because I'm just as guilty as they of engaging in this fruitless task. And I'm not alone. Nancy Claire Pittman, president of Phillips Theological Seminary in Tulsa, keenly observes that we all tend the corpses of long dead ideas and ideals. We cling to former visions of ourselves and our churches as though they might come back to life as long as we hold on to them. We grasp our loved ones too tightly, refusing to allow them to change, to become bigger or smarter or stronger. We choose to stay with what we know in our hearts to be dead because it's safe. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The messenger's preaching convicts me as I stand, spices in hand, prepared to embalm my rusted resentments, wasted wounds, and ghosted goals. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And then the messengers preach the good news, the very best news, and they speak it in words meant for human ears. He's not here. He's risen. Now it's time for the final preacher in this three-part sermon to take the pulpit. Now the empty tomb itself steps up to land the sermon. "Look," it says, "there's literally no body here. Jesus told you not to concern yourselves with the dead. Remember that man who wanted to become a follower? As soon as he'd buried his father, he said, 'Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.'" He wasn't just talking to that would-be disciple. He was talking to you, preaches the empty tomb. Jesus isn't here. He's out there, and he's alive. And if you're serious about following him, you need to stop coming in here and go out there to the place with your name on it. Because he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Christ is risen. This first Easter sermon, it's all about the power of God. The power of God to defeat death, not only Jesus' death, but our own. The power of God to cover up and repair our rusted resentments, to heal our wasted wounds, and to sweep away our ghosted goals. The power of God to turn periods into commas, to bring life into the darkest corners of the world. The power of God to create spaces for each of us with our names on them, into which we are called. My first morning at the tomb, the women heard that first Easter sermon. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all the rest. It didn't matter that the others thought their words were an idle tale. Had I been there, I'm not sure I would have believed them either. I'm pretty sure I would have run with Peter to see for myself. And there, like Peter, I would have missed the messengers, but the stone and the tomb, they'd have been joined by another preacher who waited, the linen clothes by themselves. It didn't matter that Peter had to check it out himself. The women heard that first Easter sermon, Christ is risen, and they believed the good news, the best news. And then they went out into the world to proclaim it. What will you do now that you've heard that Easter sermon? Who will you tell? Will you join your voice to that of Christians throughout the years and proclaim the good news? All you have to do is preach the perfect sermon. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.